Well, if you're like me, anytime you see things up here that aren't normal, it gets your curiosity. You know, you have a good idea you're going to get to see a puppet show. And you have a good idea that there's going to be something on the screen behind me. And those always perk your interest. At least they do mine. But as our interests are perked, we need to be asking God to direct our ears, that we will hear and understand the message that he's trying to get across to us, whatever tools he might be using. And so I'd ask for your prayers for my brother Don as he stands before us this morning, that truly you'll give him, he will give him, rather, that he needs to get it across to you and I, Brother Don.
I thank you, and indeed it is what touches our heart that's most important, not what touches our eyes. These are just little efforts to help us remember what God has given to us in the Word of God. Today I have some acknowledgments to give. I'm very technically challenged, but I have two daughters that have married very intelligent men who are very technically savvy, and they have given me ideas and walked me through, and so I want to thank them. I want to thank my whole family. I've got a daughter-in-law who has given me some beautiful grandchildren. Make an effort to come. I have a wonderful wife who takes my crazy ideas and somehow makes them work. And so behind this sermon is a very wonderful family and one dummy. You can decide whether it's the puppet or me. Today, I want to give a second sermon, a part two. My last sermon was lessons that I learned from Nehemiah. Today, it's lessons that I learned from Nehemiah, part two. The last sermon, I found out, was for me. I needed that. The very next day, my life made a radical change because of that sermon. Today, I don't know who this sermon's for. I would like to remind our children that this is the house of God. When we go to visit someone who is very, very important, like a governor or a president or a king, and we go into their home, we are very polite, we are quiet, respectful, we're discreet with our actions. Not that we can't have enjoyment when we go to visit, but we are quiet. Today, we are in the house of our God. We are here on the Lord's Day, and it's all about Him. Now, we can enjoy it, and we will have a puppet show if our puppet shows up and if he cooperates. But if he does something surprising and he does something that you think is funny, we do not laugh out loud and make loud noises because we are in the house of our God. There's another reason we don't do that. There are those in the audience that have hearing aids. And when we laugh and make loud noises, it causes a freight train to run through their head, and they can't hear. And so out of respect for those with hearing aids, but most especially for those, for the fact that it's in the Lord's house, I would ask that you refrain from laughing out loud, but enjoy. Speaking of puppets, I would like to give a lesson on Malchiah. Now, I don't know whether you know Malchiah and heard his story. You could ask your parents, but they might not be ready to tell you today. So I will tell you the story of Malchiah. He was the son of Rechab, if that helps. More information. Malchiah lived in the days of Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah lived 445 years before Christ. That's 2,500 years ago that Malchiah lived. He was not a famous boy or a lad, but he did a work that nobody else did, that God needed done. And that's the lesson I want us to learn and remember, is that God has a work for you. We sang a song, "Great and marvelous are thy works." We sang a song, "I want to live on a higher plane. Lord, lift me up." There is work involved. Some of it's fun work. Some of it's very laborious, painful, hard, lasts forever. But if you're going to do the work of God, we have to do it. We have to do it happily. We have to do it for the glory of God. We have to do it so that others can benefit. For see, if we do what's right, others benefit. If we do what's wrong, others suffer as well as we. And that's what happened in the days of Nehemiah and Malchiah. They lived in a time where they were in captivity. Some other king controlled them. He had taken Nehemiah from his little town of Jerusalem and taken him way on the other side of the world to another land. However, Nehemiah actually was born in this far land. He had taken his grandparents and his great-grandparents over there. And Nehemiah never knew what was in his homeland, or didn't know what was in his homeland. But he had a vision, he had a dream of what his land was. Malchiah, on the other hand, was not taken away by the king. He still lived in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was torn down. The walls were rubbish. Their enemies made fun of him and mocked him. And so, I have forgotten. I was going to introduce you to Malchiah. Malchiah is our lesson maker today. He's a little shy, and you can wave at him, you can smile at him, but let's not laugh, because we are in the house of the Lord. And that's your labor today, is to enjoy, but to be respectful of the house of God. So Malchiah lived in a torn down city. Nehemiah lived in another land where he was with the king. He actually worked every day with the king. Wouldn't it be fun to work with the king? The king, if he was having a good day, treated you nicely. But if he was having a bad day, it might not be so well. And if you performed badly, he didn't just fire you. He cut off your head. So how many of us want to work for a king? Well, we do work for a king. But this king is our God. And he's a loving king. And he wants us to do his work well. He wants us to do it for God's glory. Whether it's fun or whether it's not, we work hard for God. And that's what Malchiah did. Nehemiah, way on the other side of the world, with the king, had no idea that his city of Jerusalem was torn to rubbish. One day, some visitors came, and Nehemiah asked, "Well, how are things in my hometown?" And they said, "Things are horrible. We're in a great distress. Our enemies mock us. Our walls are torn down. The gates are burnt." And Nehemiah went out and he wept. Why? Because it was God's chosen city. It was what God had set up for the world to see. And it was torn down and it was rubbish. Sometimes God has chosen me to be a light on a hill. And I have been torn down and I'm rubbish. But I have a wall to build. And Nehemiah knew that there was a wall to build. I'd like to turn to the first chapter of Nehemiah. When Nehemiah found out that the walls were in a ruin, he cried and he prayed. My last sermon was very much the same beginning. I'll read verse 4 to 7. It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. When our lives have become rubbish and we have walls to build, the first thing we do is we acknowledge who our God is, and then we acknowledge who we are. The sin that has destroyed us, we confess it, and we acknowledge it. We take ownership of it, and we repent, and we change. That's how we build the walls. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. I would like now to turn to the second chapter, and we'll begin with the 17th verse. Now, Nehemiah, in the between times now, he's prayed to God to help him do what God wanted him to do. The city was in ruins, and Nehemiah knew that the city needed to be repaired. But Nehemiah was way over here on the other side of the world, working for a king, and he was a slave. What can a slave do for his city that God wants built up when he's clear over here working for a king? And if he asks the king in the wrong way, the king will cut off his head. So he prayed because he knows that God can touch the hearts of anybody and God can make him able to do whatever needs to be done. And so Nehemiah prayed. And then he went and talked to the king. And he says, I need to go and repair my city. And the king was happy that Nehemiah wanted to do that. And so he gave him all that he needed to make this huge trip to the other side of the known world, to Jerusalem. And there Nehemiah lines up people. And I will read that. Then said I unto them, and he's talking about Malchiah, and the people that lived in Jerusalem. Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard of it, they laughed us to scorn, and they despised us, and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them, and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. The walls were torn down into rubbish. But Nehemiah said, we will arise and we will build because our God has asked us and we are his servants. Each one of us are God's servants. And we have walls that we must repair, that are broken down. It's not going to be an easy job for Malchiah. It's not going to be an easy job for you or for me. But we do it for the glory of God, and we must do it well. To give you an idea of just what was facing Malchiah and Nehemiah, I have a picture of the wall of Jerusalem as it should be. But it was torn down to rubbish. If you look up there, it wasn't just a wall like you might have to a retaining wall in your backyard to hold back the dirt. This was a wall to fortify a city. It was to keep the enemies out. And so it was a tall wall, maybe as tall as this building or taller. It was wide so they could take horses down through it with carts on them. It was a big wall. And this was a massive job. It had gates surrounding in various places so they could come in and go out. But they had to be able to guard them. There were towers that they made so they could stand up and watch for the enemy. There was a big staircase that went down to the city of David. So there was a huge amount of work that had to be done. And Nehemiah was one man. Malchiah was another. But they combined their forces along with many other people who lived in the city. But they were few. How does that make sense? Many and few. But there, in comparison, there were very few people. But it was a massive amount of work. There may have been hundreds, maybe 1,000 people. But there was very few that was going to be doing this work. If I counted right, and it's not on the map, but when I read through and considered all that was going on, in Nehemiah's day, there were 11 gates. And these were massive gates, big wood doors that had to be guarded. There were 6 towers. There was over 3 miles of this wall that had to be built. That's a lot of work. So Malchiah and Nehemiah are called to the task. They have the distractors, their enemies who make fun of them and mock them. But that is not an excuse for not doing God's work. You have to go back to school here pretty shortly, or back to work tomorrow. There are all kinds of distractors out there, or detractors, that want to pull you away from your work. Your work is to do what God needs done, to build the walls in your life, whether they be personal walls, or whether they be walls in our church where it's broke down, or walls in our community that need build up. We each have responsibilities for God, and we have to do it for His glory. And the work may be hard. It was especially hard for Malchiah, as we will read. Begin in the 3rd chapter. Nehemiah tells the people what has to be done. And he shows them this wall that is all torn down. And all the tasks that are going to have to be done. And the people are riled up and say, yes, let's work. But that does nothing. We can talk all we want. We have to put it into action. And that's where it gets hard. But the high priest, his name was Eliashib. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brother and the priest, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Haniel. Next unto him built the men of Jericho. And next unto them builded Zakur, the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hassanah build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz. And next unto them repaired Melshelem, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezebel. And next unto them repaired Zadok, the son of Bena. Now you may not know any of those people, and it's not important. But the important part is that they each had a task. They each took on the job. They each had a little portion of this wall. It wasn't a small wall. It was a huge wall. But they each broke it. They broke it down so that they had a portion that they were going to build. They committed to it. And we will commit to doing God's work sometime in our life. And in fact, when we close, we're going to sing a song. And it's going to give us an opportunity to commit in word. But it's only important that we commit it to heart and to action. To do what God wants us to do. There are always those. Dear old lady who I grew up with, she was my first Sunday school teacher, I believe, always said, there are the workers and there are the drones. Those that get in and fight and work and do everything that God wants. And then there are the slackers. It's the same in Nehemiah's day. Let's read verse 5. And next unto them, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. They did it kind of so-so. They weren't really into it. They didn't care. But fortunately, we had Malchiah and a host of others who worked hard day after day after day. From the rising of the sun till the setting of the sun, they worked and worked. There was all kinds of problems that they had to deal with, but they did not allow that to stop them. We have to rise above ourselves. God will be our strength. In the tasks that we have, though it's very difficult and it's laborious and it's hard, painful sometimes, our God will give us what we need. But we have to remember that it's Him and it's for His glory. And we do it through prayer. I'm going to read verse 12. And next unto him repaired Shalom, the son of Halosheth, the ruler of half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. A little different. Typically, we think that all the work is for the men. But in this situation, he called his daughters to help. Probably because he didn't have sons. What I'm saying, and I'm getting out of this, is there is no room for any of us to make an excuse, say, we don't have a job. There is a job for every one of us. We have no excuse. We can't say, it's his job, when it's my job. I'd like to jump down to verse 14. And we're going to find out exactly what Malchiah's job was. But the dung gate repaired Malchiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of part of Beth Hasserim. He builded it, set up the doors thereof, locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Now that might not tell you a whole lot. But down here on the bottom was a valley that ran on the south side of Jerusalem. It was called the Valley of Hinnom. It has a really ugly history. Before the children of Israel came in to this area, the Canaanites lived there. And the Canaanites had false gods. They worshipped idols. They did sacrifice to their idols. And they did it in this Valley of Hinnom. They did something that was horribly awful, that God hated. And that was, they sacrificed some of their children. They made them walk through a fire to their God. Something that our God would never want us to do. And God loathed that Valley of Hinnom that was on the south side of Jerusalem. And so, when the children of Israel came and took over Jerusalem and builded it, he caused them to decide to use that valley as their dump. All their trash from the city went out through the dung gate. that Malachiah built. And it was taken into the valley and dumped. And you can imagine over the years that that probably wasn't a pretty sight. And it probably didn't smell good. But Malchiah was given that, or he took on that job. Don't know whether he was assigned or whether he volunteered. But he took that job. A horrible job. Of all the wall, that was the last place that anyone wanted to build. But Malchiah took on that task. We have no excuse for seeking out the best jobs. If we believe that God called us to work, He wants us to do whatever comes before us. And if it's a bad job, don't shy away from it. It's yours. And you get to do it for God's glory. And we're going to see that Malchiah did a wonderful job at the end of the story. He worked and he worked. He was tired, but he didn't allow anything to stop him from the work. We're going to read out of chapter 4. So builded we the wall, in verse 6. And all the wall was joined together unto half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. They wanted to do what God wanted them to do. They weren't being forced to. Now, there were a few slackers. But if you want to give God glory, you will not be a slacker. You'll be as Malchiah. You will work and work and work. Tired and hot, thirsty, dirty. This rock had crumbled down into a big pile. And it had sat there for 300 years or more. Well, take that back, 150 years. It was going to be another long time before they got their independence, but it was only 150 years that this wall had been destroyed. But you can imagine how fast weeds grow up in your backyard. Think of 150 years of growth on this rubbish. And they had to go out and clear the brush and find the stones and build them up and set them in order to make this wall. A huge job. But they had a mind to work. We have to have in our heart a desire to serve our God, no matter what the task. Verse 7. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. And conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayers. Very important. It's the first thing that Nehemiah did. He cried and he went out and he prayed to God. And God gave him the task. And now they're in the middle of the task. And their enemies are coming in on them. And they're wanting to destroy them. But they prayed. Nevertheless, we made our prayers unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. So not only did they pray, they did what they could. They took their swords and they protected the wall. They protected the children. They protected their wives. It was not an easy job. They had this huge wall to make up, but they took what they could and they did what they could, and then they had to leave the rest to God. And so they prayed and left it up to Him. Verse 13. Therefore set I in the lower parts behind the wall and upon the high places, I even set the people after their families with their swords and their spears and their bows. So they had the laborers and then they had their families out there with their weapons, so that if the enemy came, they could immediately drop their tools, run, grab their swords, and fight off the enemy. It was a hard job. All kinds of problems. But they didn't let it stop them. And so we have to rise above our own problems. We cannot let our own personal issues stop us from the work of God. Verse 14. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. Nehemiah, seeing that the people were grieved because of their enemies and because of this massive labor, and he gave them encouragement. And we all need encouragement. And so part of our task is to look around and see someone that is bending under the load of that they have and give them encouragement. Help them if you can. Do whatever you can. One thing you can do is you can pray for them. All of us can do that. And so we need to encourage one another, because some of us have some terribly heavy burdens to bear. And it needs to be part of yours. Verse 16. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spear and the shields and the bows and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the houses of Judah. So they divided up the work some more, some just for the protection, some to build that wall. I'm going to turn to, I'll read verse 18. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Nehemiah knew that the enemy would come, and there had to be a signal that would shout out for 3 miles around where the enemy was at. And so he had a trumpeter that stayed by Nehemiah. And whenever the enemy sounded or showed up, they sounded the trumpet so that everyone could come and protect that portion of the wall. We have to build the wall. There are breaches. The enemy can get in, and we have to repair it. I need to hurry up. We'll read verses 21 to 23. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. So they didn't even take off their clothes for night. They slept in their clothes, so that in the morning when the sun came up, they were immediately to the work. And they worked all day long, and when the sun went down, they collapsed into their bed. And in the morning they got up and they went back to work. That's the attitude that we have to have when we're working for our God. There is no time to let down your guard, because the enemy is out there. What is our enemy? It's Satan. And he comes in with worldly things. You have to be on your guard. Never, ever let it down, because the wall will return to rubbish if we do. I'd like to turn to chapter 9. Verse 2 and 3. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. The wall has been built. The gates have been set up. They are still on guard for the enemy. But the massive work has been done. Except that's when they started falling. They goofed. But in this scripture, they were doing what was right. And what was right? They spent time reading the Word of God. 1/4 part of the day. The other 1/4 part, that's almost half, or that is half the day they spent either worshiping or confessing sins and praising God. That's what we must do when our work is accomplished or when we have spare time. What do I want to do when I have got my job done? I want to go home and sit back and kick up my heels and watch TV. Read the newspaper. Read a novel. But that won't keep the walls from being torn down. Not that that in and of itself is evil. But it sure gives Satan an avenue to break down a wall. And gives a breach where Satan has an opportunity to come in and touch my heart and steal it. And so they spent 1/4 of the day confessing and praising and 1/4 of the day reading the Word. Now, the Malchiah used a sword to protect himself. But what is our sword that we must use? Anybody have an idea? I think Malchiah might have an idea. The Bible and the Book of Mormon. That's our sword. That's what protects us. You have to know what's in that. If you don't read it, how are you ever going to know? In school, we are given books. If we never open the books, we don't learn. We have to open the books. We have to read. We have to discuss it. Talk it over. At school, you have your playmates that you can talk it over if you have a problem in math that you don't understand. Or you can go to the teacher. We can talk it over with us. And we can try to help each other. But if we still don't know, we go to the teacher. We get on our knees in prayer. And we ask our Creator, what about this? And He can answer. I would like to turn to, continue on. I'm going to read verse 5, last part of verse 5 and verse 6. It's a prayer. Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the hosts of heaven worshipeth thee. We have a mighty King. We are His servants. We stand up and we praise Him. We are not ashamed of Him. So when we're in school or when we're at work, we proclaim our King. We work for Him. We build up the walls. And we don't allow the world to sneak in. Because that causes a blemish upon the name of our God. That was what Nehemiah's problem was. He seen that the wall was torn down. It was a reproach to his God, his King. And so he asked the king that he worked for if he could go and build up this wall. And that is our task. Now Malchiah was one man. And he did one part of that great wall that was very difficult and very undesirable task. But he did it, and he did it well. And so when the wall was done, Nehemiah got all the people that were in the city, and they had a great feast. And they went and they dedicated the wall. And guess where they went? We're going to go to chapter 12. I'll read verse 31 and 32. Then I brought up the princes of Judah unto the wall and appointed 2 great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand unto the wall toward the dung gate. That was where Malchiah did his labor. And so Nehemiah brought the people together and he divided half of them. And half of them went to where Malchiah had worked. And the other half went the other way. It's important that we do it with God's glory in mind. And we do it the best that we can. No matter how hard the job, no matter what we think of it. It's God's work and we do it for Him. I have a wall to build and you have a wall to build. What's your wall or what's your portion? I don't know. What's my portion? If I don't know, I need to be seeking God and finding out what it is. And when I find out, I still need to consent Him and seek Him out so that I know how to do it. So that I don't tear up parts of the wall while I'm building other parts. So that I don't just waste my time down in the debris. Because we want to build the wall. How is your prayer life? Is your prayer still like it was when we were little children? And we asked God to bless us and to watch over us through the night and to bless Mama and Daddy? Or is it that plus the fact that we want to know what God wants of us? How can we serve His kingdom? How can we be His children? Because that's what we want to be. We want to be the child of the King. There are tasks within my own heart and soul that I must do. There are tasks within this building, this church. We have walls that are crumbling, that are hurting, that are in debris. We need to build. There are huge amounts of walls in our communities that need to be built. And they will not be built unless we do it. We need to be the moral compass in the politics and in the communities. We need to be there and involved and doing the work of our God, our King. It's a great challenge. But we need to be on our knees and we need to be in the Word of God that we might do His work. I thank you for your attention. I hope that each of you remember that we are in the work of our God. Thank you. We will also be singing a song, as I mentioned earlier, that gives us a chance to commit to the work of God. So I hope that you will sing this song with great fervor, desiring to do that work, whatever it may be. Thank you.